Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third hour, Darren Donica Chase on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. No stranger to the show, no stranger to the station. Hard to believe, by the way, this August, it will be 9 years, a 9-year anniversary of 102.5 The Game. And our next guest was right there alongside me as we introduced Nashville to the station 9 years ago this August. Brad Hopkins, the stalwart left tackle for the Titans for a long time, 13 years to be exact, is on the line with us. B-Hop, what's going on?
Gentlemen, how are we?
Wow, thank you for that. That was awfully nice of you.
B-Hop.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's been a while since we've called that.
I know. What, gentlemen?
How you doing? That's right. So how are you and the family doing?
I use the term very loosely.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I shouldn't have pressed.
We're good, man. We're good. We're doing our part to quarantine, even though I saw that the state of Tennessee got a D for social distancing.
Yeah, we're not doing well. We're trying. I mean, look, this is show... Brad, this is show, let's see here, show 11. Show 11, doing it from home.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Have you been doing the same, and how long have you been doing it for?
Let's see, 6 years.
Oh, you... So you've been way ahead of the curve. You knew before all of us. You were way ahead.
Well, I used to take my butt down to the needle. At Bridgestone Arena and do it from the palatial studios of the SiriusXM studio there. But paying $20 to go to work every time was getting to be a pain in the butt. So I invested in one of those Kodak machines that you guys are probably on right now. And basically I've been broadcasting from my house back to the studios in New York since 2014. Yeah.
Very smart. It actually, I wasn't sure, how this was going to play. I've never done it from home, never had a 3-person show, everybody at their house. But, I know it goes on. I know a lot of the national shows and, like you said, satellite shows, they do that already and have been doing it for a long time. But believe it or not, I don't know how these guys feel. I don't want to speak for them. But I thought to this point, it's been pretty seamless. It's not really that much different than, sitting in studio and staring at each other.
You learn your speech patterns, especially when you do a show consecutively. You learn when someone is wanting to step in or maybe even extend the question without really stepping on each other, even though you're not in the same room. But, you know, it does have its advantages. I'm sure you guys are well aware at this point of being able to see each other in the same room. But you start to learn each other even though you can only hear each other. It's pretty fun. It's cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. Really good point. How's Bryson holding up? Because this has got to be a strange time for him to be going to be. He's getting ready to turn pro and get drafted, and yet, you know, it's going to be totally different than we've ever seen it for the NFL draft.
Yeah, he's just pissed off at me right now.
Why is he mad at you?
Well, he said I cut his hair not the way he wanted it cut. So I told him I did the best I could with the tools I'm working with. You know, obviously most barbers close nowadays, so he has to turn to dad and get a haircut.
Uh-huh.
You know, I couldn't give him the great clips cut, so he was a little ticked off by it. I'm like, dude, this is what you get, man. My clippers are from Walgreens. What do you expect?
You get what you pay for, right?
Basically, that was for free. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. You know, this is absolutely crazy because I remember having so many conversations with people about the similarities between what Bryson and I had experienced and are experiencing, him going through the whole, you know, draft process. And then it got derailed. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have to learn to be self-sufficient when basically the guys that are giving grades can't come give grades. And, you know, the industry itself is now trying to be creative and reinvent ways to keep the model moving forward via the draft, virtual reality meetings, all this other stuff. Not virtual reality, but you know what I'm saying, Zoom meetings and whatever. Mm-hmm. We're now starting to kind of creep back into some semblance of business as usual, even though it's been dramatically affected. So what are the guys doing now to continue, you know, staying in shape when gyms are closed? You know, just kind of, you can't even work together with more than 10 people, you know what I mean? So there's difficulties there. So, yeah, I know of a couple of spots where people have actually opened up their own personal gyms in their homes to have, you know, groups of maybe 4 or 5 athletes come and do some training. And, you know, that's kind of where Bryson finds himself. You know, he's blessed enough to have some resources to where people, you know, not publicly are able to work out. But, you know, he's doing what he can to kind of maintain a focus and see what happens in this completely different environment that we're now experiencing in the NFL.
So he's not leaning on dad and younger brother to work him out?
No. I mean, I did enough with him when we trained at Boost, you know, to where he's seen enough of dad. You know? So, you know, now it's just really about maintaining. You know, I think that everyone knows that, you know, everyone's at a disadvantage. You know, to a degree, you know, some people are able to travel and do more than other states, you know, which, you know, there's a disadvantage there, but, you know, they'll deal with it. You know, I think that Bryson has done enough, as most of the kids have done enough to this point, to kind of put out a good resume on you know, what they're going to bring as far as the value to a team, you know. So it's not like they're going to go into this thing completely blind. They've already had a good idea, first off, what these kids have done and accomplished in their senior season. Most of, you know, if not all of the bowl games and, you know, combine situations are already in the books. You know, sure, there were some pro days to kind of cross T's and dot I's, but for the most part, they had a pretty good idea of who these kids are and where they should probably go.
Last thing on my end, Brad, I know you've told this story before. I've heard you tell it, that you try to get a feel of who's really interested in you, and you kind of were duped. You didn't really think it was then the Oilers. I think you've told the story, you thought it was the Browns, right? That were real high on you. You thought that's who was going to draft you. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so has Bryson been able, and I know, as you just said, it's crazy because it's now Skype and Zoom, and it's just different because you're not getting to do this stuff at the facility or with them and pro day. Does he have any idea of who has, like, real interest in him?
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
There are teams that, you know, seem to continue to call more than others. You know, I'm like, how many times do you need to ask the same questions? Good Lord. But if they're continuing to do it, you know, then they're obviously the ones that are showing the most interest. For me, Bill Belichick coached me in the Senior Bowl. So he had an opportunity, and I had an opportunity to work with him before this whole process, you know, before we even got to the combine, you know, for him to even show further interest, that we sat down and watched film together when I was in college. And Mel Kiper told everybody I was going to the Browns with the 14th pick, and that's where I thought I was going. And obviously, the Oilers thought differently.
We're talking to Brad Hopkins. Anyway, he is the 7th seed today. And he is taking on Brandon Wright in the first round of our Nashville sports bracket. Can you hear me, Brad?
I can. I'm at a disadvantage, man, going against Brandon Wright. Are you kidding me? He's a hooper, first off.
Well, you were a pretty good hooper back in the day. And so let me ask you this, Brad, because we're getting nostalgic, right? We've had a chance to talk to a lot of the people in this bracket. It's been awesome to catch up with a lot of the field here, a lot of kids or a lot of guys that who were, as kids, grew up and played their high school ball here. But give us your background. When you were growing up, who got you into sports? Who were your biggest influences? And I know you played a little hoops along with football. Who were your biggest influences?
Okay, so I was a huge NBA fan when I was a kid. I loved watching Karl Malone. I loved watching Clyde the Glide Drexler. I loved watching Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb. I loved, you know, every aspect of the NBA. I, you know, kind of sparingly watched the NFL. Really wasn't of interest to me. Matter of fact, my dad used to make me play football when I was a kid just to keep me out of trouble. And, you know, basically just kind of stay in shape for basketball is what I was using it for. So that was my mindset. Willie, I was going to be a basketball player. And I really didn't show much passion in anything else. I was the kind of kid that, you know, me and my boys would ride all over town looking for pickup games, you know, and we'd play from sun up to sundown. You know, the smell of a gymnasium, it just, I mean, bro, I couldn't wait to get there. The squeak of some of tennis shoes, you know, doing Apaches, even though you hated doing them, they were necessary. All the stuff that the nuances about basketball is what I was passionate about. Didn't give a rat's about football. Then some guy came up with an idea of, you know, when I was playing football, he said, look, what we're going to do is you act like you fell down, and then to kind of fall, run over the middle of the field, and we're going to throw you a ball and see what happens. Well, they did it, and I ran 70 yards for a touchdown. So I've developed a different passion for football because I could be athletic, you know, playing football. You know, there were some things that I could do with, you know, my size that, you know, most people couldn't at that time. So I started kind of, you know, liking it a little bit more. But I was a junior in high school by the time I did that, just like Bryson. And so, you know, kind of long story short, I accepted a scholarship to play football because the reality set in that at, you know, 6'4 and a half, you know, 270 pounds, there are not many guards. And I certainly am not Zion Williamson. You know, I like to have the ball in my hand. But, you know, football was more of a reality for me. But I wasn't disciplined. I didn't, you know, have a process or any kind of connection to resources that would have kept me focused to not eat my way to tackle, which is exactly what I did. I showed up in Champaign, Illinois, a ripe 270 pounds after they recruited me at 235. And I was wondering why the offensive line coach kept rubbing his hands together and just staring at me. So it was, you know, all for the better, we understand. But, you know, that wasn't my plan. So I wasn't planning on becoming a tackle, you know. And when I got to be a tackle and understand really what was going on, I just tried to do the best I could do, you know, and learn on the fly, you know, and just, you know, used the things around me as motivation, like the guys I played with. You know, it really wasn't ever for the money. You know, it was really for, you know, being a part of something. You know, and that was one of the things. And people always ask you, you know, you miss playing the game. Well, who the hell misses 9-on-7? You know, who misses, you know, goal line drills? Who misses, you know, playing when it's sub-zero outside? You know, you don't miss that. What you miss is going through all of that with your brothers, you know, and being a part of a unit, being a part of something. And usually that was continual for us since we were kids. And then once that is over, you know, it's over. And if you don't have a plan, boy, life can be sucky.
Who was the coach that had the biggest influence on you? Whether it be a football coach or a coach in any sport growing up, who was your biggest coach's influence?
There was two. One, his name was Paul Carter. He was our high school wrestling coach, and He's also a really, really good football player at Moline High School, where I went to school. He was all-state, went to a smaller school, I think a D3 school. Really didn't, you know, football wasn't his future, so he ended up teaching. And he was not only a one of our coaches, he taught history, you know. So here's somebody that, you know, did something outside of sports, you know, as far as the curriculum was concerned, and had a huge influence on not only the athletes, but this entire student body, because he was one of everybody's favorite teachers. So not only was he a great football player, but he was also, you know, a student favorite. Everybody loved taking his classes because he was fun, and you know, you learned something when you were in there. And so he had a huge influence. I mean, then when I went to college, it was Mike Beal. He became my offensive line coach after my offensive line coach that originally was there ended up taking a head coaching job at Southern Illinois. His name was Bob Smith. And Mike Beal used to always just, I mean, be real with us. You know, when you're in those settings, like, you know, when you don't get to go home for Thanksgiving, when you don't get to go home for Christmas because you're playing in bowl games and stuff like that, and you're spending so much time with a coach and his family, you know, you develop these really cool relationships. And he was one of those that, you know, I don't hold it, I don't keep it up like I should, but he's definitely one that I, you know, really miss the most.
Talking to Brad Hopkins, a longtime left tackle for the Tennessee Titans, and as I listen to you talk about Bryson and his experience, I'm curious of what your approach has been with him, of knowing some of the things that he's going through, because you went through it yourself, knowing what it's like to play in the NFL, even though the league has changed quite a bit since you last played, but you spent 13 years there. Do you maybe give him some of that advice, even though he might not want to hear it right now, of, hey, you know, when you know, make sure you're taking care of your money, make sure you're doing this and listening to these people, or are you letting him experience this like you got to experience it?
So this is the uniqueness about Bryson, Chase. Everything I went through, he was going along through it with me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The decisions I made economically, you know, he felt. You know, the lifestyle we provided for him, he knew where it came from. He has been in and around facilities ever since he could walk. So, unlike me, he was born into this. You know, whether he wanted to pursue it or not, you know, it was definitely up to him, because guess what? His brother, who was born 12 months later, he's not a football player. He's a baseball player. You know, so, and obviously my daughter doesn't play football either, so it's not like she would have pursued it like Bryson did. So, but he wanted to do what he's doing. You know, that was the difference in what we're doing. I didn't necessarily see myself being a football player. It wasn't a goal of mine. You know, I mean, when someone asked me when I was a kid, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't say a football player. Bryson did. You know, so obviously there are some things at the adult level that we soundboard off of one another. I don't make Bryson's decisions, not even close to it. I want him to be someone that, you know, experiences the elation of making a good decision and also experiences the growing pains of making a bad one. You know, but he also knows that he can use his family as a resource. It's not just me. You know what I mean? It's his mother. It's my wife. It's his brother and sister. It's, you know, it's his mom's husband. We are a very close-knit group, you know, and we do our best to pour into him and give him, you know, the support he needs to be the best person he can be.
I got one football Titans-related question for you. Is last year we saw the ups and downs of the offensive line, and I think a lot of that had to do with Taylor had the four-game suspension. You had a new guard that had come in via free agency. You had another guard that was a rookie. Jack Conklin was coming off injury. Conklin is the only subtraction from that offensive line this year. Dennis Kelly is going to slide in, at least from the beginning, at right tackle. He's very familiar. How important is it to have that continuity like you guys had, even though you had, you know, different guys that would leave or come in, but to have that continuity going into this season for that Titans offensive line?
Chase, continuity is timing.
And timing can only be perfected when you do it consistently over and over and over and over and over and over. And you get where I'm going? And over again. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And with him now being in a position where Dennis can be that guy consistently, and he's already said, I am that guy, so he believes it in his own mind, then it shouldn't be hard for them to establish that continuity. But being able to work in unison, being able to work without even saying anything, you know what I'm saying? I remember Bob Young back in the day, my first offensive line coach, said, we've got to be like ballerinas, you know, working, you know, in unison with one another, you know? And you always reference the balled up fist versus an open hand, you know, where the fingers are exposed and, you know, can definitely be more vulnerable versus you getting punched in the face by a balled up fist. You know, that's what we like to reference, offensive line play. And when you've got your people in place, that's what helps. And that's where it starts. You know, I'm not trying to be, you know, funny when I say that it starts up front with the big bodies, but that's exactly where the whole game starts. You know, even teams that have great defenses, they would love to have a great offensive line because they know that going up against other great defenses, they got a chance. Because if they don't, then it could be a long afternoon, you know what I mean, because nothing's working. And you've got to be able to establish the line of scrimmage. And whose job is that? It's the big bodies up front. And the less you have to tinker with them, the more that they can stay in place and do what they do, you know, bar injury, free agency, vitamin C, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to stay on the field and produce consecutively. And that's what they need to do.
Do you know where you can find any vitamin C? Because I can't find any. Do you have a stash at home?
I do, because I'm actually trying to stay up on my vitamins. They say that the vitamin C kind of helps with the keeping the Rona away, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm looking for it. It's bone dry on all the shelves. Can't find it.
Well, my wife is one of those weird, you know, she takes vitamins and makes me take vitamins and stuff. So we've actually been doing this stuff. So she's already, we don't have this. We're not out there furloughing vitamin C and toilet paper, you know what I mean? But, you know, we have enough to, you know, get by.
Good to talk to you. Good to hear from you. Glad things are good at home. You guys be safe. If you win, which you're in control, up 75%, Mookie Betts is also in control. That will be your second-round matchup, you and Mookie Betts.
That's a wrap for me. Anyway.
I don't know, B-Op. I'm just saying. I don't know.
The Titans have a lot of pull. The Titans have a lot of pull.
Yep.
Yeah, baseball, man. Everybody knows Mookie Betts. Come on, man.
He's the 2 seed, but I'm just saying, 2 versus 7, upsets happen. It could happen.
No, isn't that the 5-11 matchup? Isn't that the one that always is crazy?
5-12 is crazy. In our bracket, it has been 6-11 has been the upset special. The 11s have been winning.
Yeah, yep. Blaine's beating Golden Tate right now.
Yep.
Oh, Blaine's beating Golden? Shut up.
Yep. That's the 11-6 in your bracket.
Well, I would have thought that, you know, sure, there's the Titan issue, but I would have thought that the Pope John Paul II, is that where he went to school?
Yep.
Yep, JP2.
I figured the JP2 product, you know, that kid would have an inside track, but I guess, man.
And the 5-12 in your bracket is your teammate, Big Al. He's the 5 seed, and he's currently slightly losing to Kimo Tiiminen. So right now the 12 is winning.
Nice.
And the 14, so Kevin Dyson's winning.
Now that one's going to go right down to the wire, I believe.
You know, I think I was looking at the brackets. Who is Jordan Tutu going up against?
He's going up against Mookie. Yeah, he's losing. 63% for Mookie, 37% for Jordan.
Tutu is performing well for a 15 seed, for sure. Don't you think he's done well? He's done the best of any 15 seeds so far.
Yeah, of any of the 15 seeds, he's done the best, yep.
Dice is a 14. He's up 76-24.
All right, so here's the alley-oop for your next guest. Where's Eddie at right now?
Eddie is the 1 seed and cruising. Cruising. Up, I think, last check, 93%. Yeah.
Who's he going up against?
Poor Blake Jeffrey.
He's going up against Blake Jeffrey on. And Blake Jeffrion is a Nashvillian who played for the Predators, so he has a great spot in Nashville sports history. But he's one of those guys I would have to say is happy to be in the bracket.
Remember, we used to talk to Blake back in the day. Will, our day, remember?
Yep, no doubt. Yeah. Absolutely.
By the way, I'm sorry. I'm not – I'm not laughing at that, but when you said 93%.
Well, look, you can get this reference better than anybody, Brad. Right now, Eddie's looking up at the Jumbotron running away, watching him run into the end zone, watching himself run in the end zone. Hey, good to talk to you. We'll talk soon. You guys be safe, and thanks for joining us.
All right, brother. Anytime. You guys take care.
All right, that is Brad Hopkins. B-Hop in control right now is the 7 seed, and he just referenced it. We are expected to be joined by Eddie George here very shortly on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.